Yeah, I got to get out of here. John Kelly and Sherry Elker show coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times.
Thank you, Dory.
Yeah.
Wow. That new music.
Eagles that were soaring above us.
Yeah. Andrew always adds, you asked him to do different sound effects besides
the stinger, and then it went in. Right. It threw me all off. All right. Dory writes me yesterday, hey, I'm in Cleellum and down at Bones getting a burrito. And I wrote, hey, all right. And I thought, chance to come down, hang out with Dory. Nope. Puff of dirt, just psh, gone. And no one to, oh, there's Sherry. Oh, there's Sherry. The Dixie Chicken looks like she flew all night. You know, chickens fly.
I did fly almost all night, as a matter of fact, just to be here. Just to be here in this wonderful place.
First class. You flew first class. Good for you, huh?
I did.
Yeah. We'll hear more about that in a little bit. Don't mention the airline. Diving in! Ha! Sounded like I was underwater, still screaming. I threw everybody off there, didn't I? Okay, let's see. Supreme Court decides. Looks like they're going to go with our coach from Bremerton, the praying coach. I forget where we were in this. I was trying to remember. Did I make a crazy prediction that this would not? I think let's just assume that I said I would. I got it right. Okay. And I think, Sherry, you got it wrong.
That sounds about right. That sounds about the way things usually go.
I forget where Andrew was on all of that.
Oh, he was wrong, too. We were all wrong but you.
Well, you were up all night. Okay, so everybody knows the story. You've been hearing about it all day, right? So here is the coach was on Fox News. This would be the most interesting thing of this whole story is going to be, how soon will this guy make Dory wait until Dory can interview him? Because this guy's going to do every single of the major ones. Dory had this guy on numerous times. Then he gets picked up. He's been battling this thing for 7 years. Here he is on the big time.
You know, coaches any public employee, I think about the teachers, I think about the janitors, the lunch people, everybody that works in a school district that's a lot of people in this country, and everybody was keeping their eye on all of this to see what their rights are going to be. Are they going to be taken away? And it just shows that, hey, it doesn't matter what your faith is or if you have no faith. It just proves that, you know, this is America and the First Amendment applies, and nobody should have to worry about now, especially have to worry about just because you want to thank God, you could do it now. And that's just an awesome thing for everybody.
Coach, fair to say that if you had to do this all over again, you would?
Oh, no.
Cliffhanger. Thank you, Chicken.
I thought I cut that part out. I'm sorry.
More tomorrow. Bum, bum, bum.
I think we know the answer to that question, though.
All right. He's going back to coaching?
As soon as the school district says, hey, come back, I am there. Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. At least we got that part right. And then finally, the lawyer from the coach was talking about the ruling. He said,
free speech and free exercise are both protected under the First Amendment. And whether that's a teacher bowing their head over their meal or whether that's coach going for 15 to 20 seconds after the game and saying a prayer, a silent prayer, you have a right to do that. So if the government is going to infringe upon that, and in this case, really fire him, because he exercises First Amendment rights, they've got to have some sort of very serious, justification for that. And they didn't have anything like that. This idea that somehow if players see him across the field, that is enough to take away his First Amendment rights. Not only a coach, but a guy who spent 20 years in the Marines fighting for our freedoms. That's not the way this country works. And so I think everybody's going to see, and I'm so glad for Joe, 6 years of fighting. He will be back on that field. That's what the case was about. He didn't ask for money. He just wanted his job back and to be able to go on the field after the game and pray. And this fall, when the games start, that's what he'll be doing. And but his case ended up being bigger because it protected so many other people. Really broad opinion that I think is going to provide a lot of protections for a lot of Americans under the First Amendment.
So he's been out of it for 7 years. He lives in Florida to go down there to take care of some ailing relatives. He said he would come back and be on the next plane right away. Maybe be on the net with you, Sherry. And, and if he gets his job back, I don't know if they're going to give him the job back, but I hope it's not. If it's going to one day, one game, everybody's there with the cameras. Then after that, just leave him alone. Just leave him alone. Let him do his thing on the 50. the dissent was interesting. Did you pick up anything out of that thing that you were like, wow, look at that. Look at Sotomayor going after the fact that somehow it is that he praying is somehow influencing these kids. And as a public employee, it is then the government through this guy's action is somehow endorsing this religion. She also points out that then the consistency would be, okay, so let's say a teacher wears a yarmulke or a headscarf. If it's Muslim, the teacher is Muslim, wears it. Is that in effect, is that also, are they in a way somehow influencing the kids? And then is that not the endorsement and the establishment of a religion? I mean, that would be Sotomayor's argument to the absurd. But I'm okay with this one. Are you all right? Are you all up in arms? You plan on like throwing a firebomb at something?
No, not today. I didn't really. This one didn't seem to make that big of a difference to me. I mean, I thought that he should be allowed to pray. I did think that him praying on the 50-yard line after they asked him not to do that was the much bigger problem than the prayer itself. That, you know, that was so, you know, that could have provided some sort of pressure on the kids or whatever. Here's what Justice Sotomayor said. She said that the Constitution neither requires nor authorizes public schools to allow officials to pray at the center of a school event. And then she said, official-led prayer strikes at the core of our constitutional protections for the religious liberty of students and their parents. And she said the court's decision elevates one individual's interest in personal religious exercise in the exact time and place of that individual's choosing over mm-hmm. society's interest in protecting the separation between church and state. I think it's a deeply personal thing. If kids want to pray and he wants to pray, I think that's fine. I just think that he probably should have done it where they asked him to do it, and then the whole thing would have been a lot easier on everybody. I like the fact that he didn't ask for money. He didn't make this a big lawsuit. He did this on principle, so I respect him for that.
The idea that the establishment of religion, the First Amendment is the establishment of religion, that somehow the state will come in. This is the biggest reason we broke away from England, was that we wanted religious freedom, a bunch of other stuff, taxation, fair representation. But that was a big part of it. So this idea that the government is completely, like, religion is some sort of kryptonite, that as soon as the state looks upon it, whatever, what happens to Superman, I can't know if he makes that noise, but that it has this evil power that somehow it's going to influence these kids. When he would pray, they'd say, can we pray with you? He goes, it's up to you. It's free country. Do whatever you want. He wasn't like, everybody in, everybody in. I played for a Catholic school, and before the games, we were so bad. We did a lot of praying. The coach would lead us in prayer. We even had mass before the games because we were a Catholic school. That's what you did. So that was part of it. He wasn't bringing everybody in and saying a prayer. I think he did in the very beginning. He said a few things and maybe mentioned God. But then when he would pray at the 50, he's allowed to pray. What they basically said, the game was over. It was no longer in the middle of the action. It wasn't part of it. Kids are doing other things. As Gorsuch said that, you know, that's like after work or something. People are doing other things. He drops down and says a prayer for a few minutes. I'm all right with this. It takes a lot of attention away from abortion for a little while, which is a lot easier to do talk radio that way.
It certainly does. Now, the question is...
Because it all gets down to us.
Yeah, there you go. And what's better for us. Do you think they're going to give him his job back? I mean, this could not have ended well between, you know, when he left and all of the school got all the attention and all of that. Do you think he's really going to get his job back?
Somebody else will offer him a job because politically it'll be a feather in their cap to have him as the coach. Who knows? Was he even a good coach or not? I don't know. Does he get his job back after 7 years? Legally, do they have to offer him the job if the position is still there? I don't know. I bet he takes it. If they offer it, he certainly takes it. And I don't know if they're obligated in some way to return him to that position. I didn't go any further than just sort of seeing the top part of the story. So, I read a whole bunch of junk on it, but I didn't see whether the school now has to get him back. Hey, here's some completely meaningless action by the governor. What are we doing here? This is Deborah Horn reporting on the weekend protests.
Mike Pence and the Republican Party.
Oh, yeah. Understand this. It's important to know this, that if the governor of Washington would like to do a constitution amendment to somehow protect abortion in the state of Washington. He would need a supermajority to change the constitution. He will never get a supermajority to do that. Never. So, and he knows that. So this is just complete and absolute nonsense.
Have a plan to take away this right from Washington women, and we intend to stop them. Yeah. And we intend to stop them right here.
It was a fiery Governor Jay Inslee vowing to take a major step to ensure no matter who is in power in this or the other Washington, the right to an abortion would remain legal in the evergreen state.
Accordingly, I will be asking the legislators to pass a constitutional amendment under...
You can't. You can't get a supermajority.
Our state's constitution to protect women in our state.
Inslee's...
Someone should have yelled out when he said that to me in the background, you know, after the hearing.
Under our state's constitution to protect women in our state.
Inslee's
declaration comes
a
day after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned the 1973 landmark ruling granting abortion rights to women.
I'm someone who has always been a left-wing feminist, atheist, pro-lifer.
The court's decision, a cause for celebration for those who have long opposed abortion.
And it's like we've been doing so much for so long that it's finally like we get to breathe now. We finally have the beginning of freedom.
Legal abortion!
But the decision sparked protest marches and rallies, too, here and across the country. Many hundreds fearful of what comes next. In the hours after the ruling, 9 states immediately banned abortions. A dozen others are likely to prohibit or restrict them, including Idaho. Washington, Oregon, and California are among just 21 states where abortion remains legal.
I made a decision to get an abortion. I made a choice.
A choice this parade of state Democratic legislators is promising to keep legal here.
Our state has to be a sanctuary state for other Americans who simply need to access medical care.
And Oregon should be the state for those that are forced in Washington to not be able to abort their children after 24 weeks. Oregon should say, we will protect you, women of Washington, since the government there won't allow you to have abortion after 24 weeks. Come down here. Come to Oregon. You can abort your, whatever you want to call it, your baby up until 9 months. Now, very few ever go beyond, like, I think 15 weeks, 16 weeks or something in there, 24. But in Oregon, there's no restrictions. So they should say there's true freedom in Oregon. Let's see Governor Inslee ask for that.
Well, I believe on Friday, didn't we talk about the fact that Oregon and Washington and another state,
California, yep,
made a pact that they were going to be sanctuary states for women to help them get abortions, and they want to earmark $1 million to be able to, and that's, I believe, part of the emergency funding, the emergency powers that Inslee has. He wants to take that money and allow, you know, it to be used for women that want to be able to get abortion services in Washington. Patty Murray said, we need 52 Democratic senators in a Democratic House to get my bill to protect abortion rights to President Biden's desk. The alternative, letting today's extreme GOP gain more power, take away more individuals' American rights, and weaken our democracy further, is unacceptable.
No, look, they were... Before Roe v. Wade, it was illegal in 30 states. Now they've kicked it back to the states. 13 will probably be banned altogether, and then you'll have to drive somewhere. Others that already have it to be, you know, with unrestricted, they'll have that. There'll be some different restrictions they'll put in place. Mississippi, I think it's still 15 weeks, heartbeat bill, and they're making it. Look, it's going to be just up to the states, and then the states can decide. I mean, where's all the people that were all excited about democracy? And I said this the other day, this is it. This is democracy. So now you get a chance to vote on it. It's interesting. The news has completely ignored the fact that 4 police officers were injured in riots over the weekend. Oregon firebombing at a peaceful protests happening with firebombing at various pregnancy centers. I know that Arizona, there was a bunch of people while they were in there. The Senate was voting on a bill. A bunch of people out there trying to smash the window and break in. I guess that would be considered an insurrection. No, that's Republicans' insurrection. It's Democrats. It's peaceful protests. So I didn't see much about that in the news. It's a shame. But I did see that SeaTac Airport is rejoicing or upset about the latest Roe v. Wade being overturned. Did you see that?
Yeah. So the
I know that you probably do you follow them on Twitter? CTAC Airport.
No, we're not friends. But
okay.
They did censor some anti-choice political messages. They wrote that CTAC welcomes anyone traveling to Washington State for access to safe abortion care. We're here for you, and you are safe at sea. But they did try to block or hide some comments that they said. They said they were getting a lot of abusive and hateful comments during Pride Month, I guess. So therefore, they were monitoring it. But it looks like that really may not have happened. So it's just weird. Like, I mean, I agree with
you're an airport.
I know.
Why do you have a Twitter? Who cares what you? Why are you responding to this? Why are you talking about this? The other thing I follow on Twitter is the transfer station over here in Cleellum, you know, where you dump all your garbage and stuff.
Uh-huh.
They've been tweeting a lot about the Roe v. Wade thing.
I mean, even though I agree with them and I'm glad they're supporting it and I'm on their
side.
You're
an airport!
You're an airport.
You're a
giant
runway with overpriced tacos. Just shut up. Let people go through there, get their stuff felt up, and then let them, you know, get on a plane for 17 hours like Sherry did yesterday.
I would really love to see if other airports around the country are also making comments about this. I mean, I had no idea that they had Twitter and there were people following them and they had, you know, a bunch of Facebook friends or whatever.
I don't get it. Here we go. You write to us at MyNorthwest.com. Come on into the State Roofing text line. By the way, Ari Van Howen just wrote to me. interesting, John. Just a couple of weeks ago, you wanted the coach to lose his case. Ouch. I write. I think you're right. Luckily, I was open to the arguments. Come on into the State Roofing text line. 1-888-973-5476. The hotel is trying to do everything they can to probably try to get you to spend a little bit more money. So, by the way, where have they put you up when you're staying here in the beautiful state of Washington, Sherry? Are you over at the Four Seasons? Are you at the Fairmont? The little boutique hotel, something sort of fancy that doesn't padlock the yogurt at 10 o'clock in the morning every day?
No, I didn't find any of these, what they're calling next level spa treatments where I'm staying. It's somehow.
I see. You're keeping on the down low where you are.
Oh, yeah. Because,
you know what? The crowd's showing up out front all hours.
I don't need the paparazzi hounding me when I'm on the West Coast. It's just
cops come up.
So annoying.
Hands in the air. Show us your hands. Wah!
Not good. Not good at all.
Yes.
So these treatments, I want to take a little poll with you, John, and see, because I think you would be adventurous enough to try some of these because you're into health, you're into wellness, you like this. And so the global wellness market declined about 40% during the pandemic. So what they're trying to do now is bring this back, but they're doing it not with regular traditional spa treatments. They're doing it with these really medical type things. So, for instance, there's a German island. And they have a spa there, a big hotel, and they have natural healing and high-end medicine. So you do a multi-day fast, you do lessons in proper chewing, abdominal massages. They also have MRI machines and scanners, an on-site psychologist. There's a place outside of Rome where there's you can have access to 8 on-site physicians who conduct all these diagnostics. They're booking like 6 months out, and people stay between 2 and 4 weeks to try to get all these different treatments and these different things
done. So it's
not
just a hotel. It's a spa, right?
It's practically a hospital. I mean, you know, they really – in Maui, they've got one where they've got the IV lounge where you just get IV drips of things.
Yeah.
And they even do stem cell therapy, which the FDA, for better or worse, whatever you think about them – they've given a lot of warnings about this. You shouldn't have somebody giving you stem cell treatments that are untested. Is this something you would consider?
I get the extra stuff, like the hot rock stuff, and then they put the sugar scrub on your toes and stuff. I will add up on that thing. You know, I sent Lace one time. There was a fancy spa. I saw that Oprah went there. I forget the name of it. And I call the lady up, and I was like, hey, it's my wife's whatever birthday was. I like to send her to this. Oh, I think it'd be a great idea. Okay. And I said, it'd be kind of nice. They'd do a surprise. Oh, absolutely surprise. Absolutely. I said, so 1 week. She said, okay, that'll be 18,000. I was like, God, you 18,000. How about just a, because I did this big build up. She works really hard. She's got two little kids. It really means a lot. I understand. I perfectly understand. It'll be 18,000. I went, well, she didn't work that hard. What's a weekend cost? Oh, a weekend. So it was still a ridiculous price, like 5,300 or something. But then they can do regressive therapy. They can do all sorts of therapies when you're there. Petting horses, painting with horses, karaoke with horses, stuff like that. That whole bunch of stuff, right? So then the woman, the next day, this special box arrives. In it is a calligraphy, of course, thing done by a horse because it's not really good. With her name on it. And it says, congratulations, and this is a very special gift that your husband has given you, 1 week at the spa.
But she only did a weekend.
Right. But they sent the 1 week. What am I supposed to do? Go, oh, that was a mistake. It's 1 week. What? Huh? What the? That's for somebody else. I couldn't take it back. And I called the lady. I said, hey, I told you a weekend. Oh, yes, I know. A weekend. We have you for a weekend. You sent the thing for a week? What am I going to do now? She goes, well, you could just tell her that you changed. I can't do that. You know what she said? Well, we'll make it up to you with one of the services. So they gave her an extra back massage for $100.
They gave her a pedicure.
They threw that in on top of the week.
Well, good did she God love it? Was it the greatest week of her life?
She said everybody spends the entire weekend or whole week walking around in robes. There's all this stuff. And I mean, yeah, she took advantage of all that. It's amazing. You know, but after a while, no one uses their phones. There's nothing to read. And it's all about, you know, healing and all about, you know, I think a week is extreme, especially at that price.
So do I. And I think I don't want people lecturing me for a week. If I'm on vacation, I don't want to go to the doctor. Do you? I mean, I don't like the doctor.
But it's not a vacation, though. It's not a vacation. It's more than a vacation. You're giving yourself permission to sort of spoil yourself with all of these things where, you know, people are touching weird parts of between your eye.
Yeah, but
between your eyes. Between your eye. Sorry.
What?
That's sorry. I thought I was doing a spot for my K2 vision. No, it's the in between your eye, your third eye. Someone's rubbing your third eye and then they got crystals and they're doing that next to you. All that sort of stuff.
Well, that I get. But these things that we're talking about with these, you know, teaching you how to chew properly and doing an IV drip and all of that. I mean, that feels so medical to me. Like, I can see, like, if I'm going to do that, then I'm going to get some kind of big plastic surgery, right? And then go relax somewhere. That, and you come
out. What do you want done? I know people. What do you want done?
I don't think we've got the time. It's only a 4-hour show.
A little something. You want that wire? The wire lift?
Ooh, no, I've seen that. Okay. No, that's not good. No,
some below the neck and above the belly button, you know, hint, hint.
Do we have the number for HR?
where they remove one of your ribs like Raquel Welch?
Okay. No, I don't want any of that done. I don't. Fine. I wouldn't mind having a little eyelid tuck, something like that.
Hoods of the eyes. The hoods of the eyes. Yeah. You want that.
That would be okay.
That's easy. Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
Oh,
come on out.
Well, I'm here. Can you stop by later?
You got to come up here. I do it up here. I've got some power tools.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. All right. That sounds good. What's the cost?
$18,000? You know what? I'm going to give it to you for free.
Oh. Well, I'll appreciate it even more then. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. I have a friend of mine. Every time he sees me, he's a plastic surgeon. Rather than the greeting with a handshake, which is a normal thing, or now the fist bump or the elbow thing, he puts both of his hands on my face, one on one side, one on the other, and then just lifts up just a little bit. Hey, great to see you.
And then because he's a plastic surgeon, do you just put your hand in your wallet and give him like a bunch of cash?
But is that not the oddest hello?
Yeah.
I said, hey, I'll change his name. Hey, Cliff, I can feel you lifting. No, I'm not. I said, yeah, you're lifting my face. You have my face in your hands, and I can feel the pressure. You're lifting right now. I'm not. First of all, why don't you just shake my hand? Why do you have to grab my face and lift it up?
Does he take like a magic marker and show like where the incisions would be and all of that?
Dotted lines? Yes. Just haven't seen you in a while. Hold on a second. He puts a magic marker cap in his mouth. So what's going on here?
Tell me what you see. What do you want different?
Did you ever borrow that pickup truck? There we go. You know you're a good friend with somebody, or you're about to meet somebody new, and then you shake their hand, and right after you shake their hand, then you take your hand that you just used to shake the person's hand with, and you consciously or subconsciously bring it up to your nose and give it a good whiff.
I'm
laughing at. Who hasn't done that every day?
Well, I mean, whenever I meet somebody new, I do that. I shake their hand, and then I smell my hand right in front of them. Don't you?
Yes.
Okay, I forgot. I don't even need to smell my hand because it's so big.
Yeah, they're distracted by how large your hand is. They don't even notice that you're smelling it in a really weird way.
Right. They're like, what happened to my whole arm? I found this story. We're doing a pre-show meeting. I just happened to see it while Jacob's going, and then I thought we would talk about abortion. And I happened to see it. Like, yeah. I read the first two words. Shoot that off to Jacob. Next thing I know, it's in the show. That's the vetting process that we have here. I read it. The idea is that if somebody has a similar odor to us, then we just naturally like the person.
Yeah, they did 20 pairs of same-sex friends. They weren't romantic. And these are people that sort of clicked on their first meeting. They found they were making a connection there. And they used an electronic nose, whatever that is, and they used to sniff the shirts worn by each participant. And they found that the people that were kind of clicking and that liked each other were, you know, had similar scents.
Mm. This is a very similar experiment that was done with men. They told them to wear a T-shirt, don't shower, wear the same T-shirt for 7 days. They stuck it in a baggie, put a number on it. Then women went along and smelled the baggies, the ones that they then liked the smell of. They would then date the person, and then a lot of them ended up marrying later on. Interesting, they found out the whole experiment fell apart when women that were on the pill, it affected their hormones and affected their sense of smell. And then when they would get off the pill and they're married to the guy who had the baggie and the T-shirt, then when they got off the pill to have a baby with this guy with the smell, with the T-shirt that they liked, they didn't like the guy as much.
Well, they say romantically we're attracted to those who smell differently because different immune genes. They think that it would like produce offspring with stronger immune systems. So if we have different immune systems, right, if we can smell that, then we would produce children with stronger immunity. So we somehow subconsciously know that through smell. So that's why you're attracted to somebody that smells different if it's, you know, if you're going to, you know, procreate with them, I guess. But, maybe not pick out your mate by smelling a T-shirt and a bag. That might be the first trick.
Well, they did the bag and the T-shirt thing, and then they went on dates. And then they're like, then they fell in love.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like that was the whole thing. It's like, hey, I found the baggie. You want to get married? No, it wasn't like that. I mean, there's a whole moral courting process after that.
Okay. Well, then
there
that
wasn't
can...
a minister standing over near the wall where they had all these things pin-pushed into the wall. No, they dated and everything else. I had a friend who smelled like a citronelle candle, and he at picnics outside stuff. If you didn't want to get bitten by any bugs, everybody just hung around him. He was so popular. He's like, God, you guys are really. You want to hear that story again? Because the bugs were just eating everybody alive. This is back in Philadelphia with big, big, wicked mosquitoes. Yeah, I don't know why he smelled like a citronelle candle, but. He was the man to stand next to, especially around 4th of July.
Was it his cologne or was it just his natural?
Just a weird thing that came off the guy. He was bugs would hit him and then you could hear them zap and fall onto the ground. All around his shoulders, he had the wings and bits and pieces of various bugs. The stink was amazing.
You know, I left Thomas at home, but I'm sorry that I did.
Trying to leaven the mood with some food.
I will. You know what? Do you need me to get my brother on the phone?
I believe that he smelled like that. But I'm not sure that I believe that there were wings of bugs laying on his shoulders because they were he was repelling them.
Sherry, I'm painting pictures.
Okay.
I'm a wordsmith. I'm painting pictures.
Theater of the mind.
This is radio. Okay. This is radio. You can't see. Okay. I'm painting pictures.
Okay. All right. All right. I believe you. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
What happened to you on that plane? You're not the same person. What happened to you?
She sat next to me.
Mickey wasn't on the plane.
No, here in the studio.
That's true.
No. Mickey's before that. Don't change
okay.
Something happened on that plane. We'll find out.
Trauma.
We'll find out. All right. We'll find out.